So yesterday we heard what Dhyana Yoga is, and what are the basis of Dhyana Yoga, the internal stage of a yogi who wants to really concentrate his mind, and what are his characteristics, how should his ahar, vihar, shayan, jagran, all should be so disciplined. And instead of disturbing his inner systems, if he is able to do meditation in accordance to the laws of nature, the elevation is very fast. Our today's session is on 7th chapter. How can knowledge, with the help of Vigyan, science, if both are combined, how can a person elevate himself? Normally in the world also it is said that science and spirituality should both go hand in hand. And this is not the concept of today's world. This is what God Himself taught to Arjuna in the 7th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So, Supreme Soul is the most elevated soul, the supreme truth amongst all. Great men take his shelter with a lot of faith, but the impure ones divert their minds to other objects of worship. When in today's chapter we'll be seeing how bhakti became adulterated. When people used to worship only one, but slowly and gradually as the attitudes of people started changing, their forms of bhakti also started changing. And so what we see the stage of bhakti today was not actually in the beginning. And this has been clarified that initially the bhakti was also unadulterated. Only one supreme who was remembered by even the gods and goddesses. And when he's talking of knowledge and vigyan, in vigyan, God is explaining the eternal vigyan, that this whole cycle, this whole play on this world is made up of soul, supreme soul and nature. Purush, param purush and prakriti. And what is the science in that? That is being clarified. So from verse 1 to verse 7, the topic of knowledge along with science, vigyan. From verse 8 to verse 12, the narration of the supremacy of God as being the reason for all the things. From verse 12 to verse 19, criticism of the ones with devilish nature and the praise of the devotees of Bhagavad. From verse 20 to verse 23, topic of the worship of other deities. And from verse 24 to verse 30, criticism of the ones who are ignorant of the influence and form of God and the praise of the knowledgeful ones. And here also, God has explained in this chapter many unanswered questions of Arjuna. And here he tells that, hey Arjuna, very few out of thousands, koto me koi, very few out of thousands try to know me, still in the effort making stage. They try to know me, and very few out of those are able to know me. Practically knowing him, everybody is not able to understand and perceive, conceive that eternal form of God as he is. And the ones who depend on me and have yoga with me are very special, and they have special feelings. They very easily realize my complete form and are able to cross Maya. So those who are having that realization of the Self and Supreme, they are the ones. So till all these chapters, maximum light was thrown on the existence of the soul and how the soul should be, what a yogi should be like. The soul is eternal, but then because of the influence of Maya, how they became and then how a yogi should be, that was what God was explaining. But from now onwards, from the seventh chapter, the existence of the Supreme Being, how he is, that is being explained. And so he says, everybody is not able to know and realize him, but only a very few. And those who realize him have deep faith and can easily have yoga with him with very special feelings. And they realize his complete form as it is, and then they are able to overcome Maya also. Further he says, as I mentioned, that Vigyan is being explained. And the Vigyan is how this play is on this world between Purush, Parampurush and Prakriti. Purush is the soul, Parampurush is the Supreme. He is also a soul, but supreme in his qualities, supreme in his attitudes, and supreme in his nature. And Prakriti, the influence of Prakriti and its three forms of gunas, that is being clarified. So this is the science. So he says that the world cycle moves on the basis of nature, soul and supreme soul. These are three eternal entity which cannot be destroyed. Yes, transformation comes in the nature of soul and nature. There is constant change that is seen. It cannot remain in that stage forever. But the Supreme is constant, beyond the influence of the nature of this world. So he says that the world cycle moves on the basis of nature, soul and supreme soul. And amongst them, the most elevated one is me. God himself is saying, supreme soul, there is no truth more elevated than me. I am the seed. So we can realize who is speaking. Krishna cannot say, I am the seed of this tree. He said, I am the seed of the human world. I am the intellect of intellects. Buddhi vano ki buddhi. The one who is not against religion. I am not dependent on the gunas of nature. So the eternal truth is being clarified by the Supreme. And then he says, the one whose knowledge has been abducted by Maya and have inculcated devilish nature, such humans who perform sinful actions due to their foolish intellect do not take the protection of the Supreme Soul. they are not able to realize him because the Gyan is abducted by Maya and they are under the complete influence of Maya, as if there is an eclipse on them. So they are not able to realize God also, and therefore they perform actions under the influence of Maya, which is sinful actions only. And after the sufferings also, they do not come under the protection of God. They do not seek the protection of God. Such is their intellect. They are completely locked by Maya. They have a big lock on their intellects. And even though if somebody has good wishes and try to make them understand, but the influence of Maya is such that they are not able to open up their minds and intellects towards the eternal truth also. So then Arjuna asked this question, then who takes the protection of God? Four types of people, he says. The first type are the earth, the ones who are in trouble, who are suffering. When they are on their bed of sufferings, the natural tendency is, oh God. So they start remembering God and they seek the protection of God. God, please help me. And at that moment they have such faith in their intellect that as if their voice is heard by the Supreme also. And he immediately rushes towards such beings also. The second type of people are known as Arthate, the ones who desire benefit in their business. They want to gain some monetary things, the material objects, so they also remember God. The third type of people who remember God are seekers, Jigyasu. Those who are the seeker of knowledge, those who want to understand what knowledge is. But the highest among them is Jnani souls, the ones who know spirituality in its real form. So they are the highest amongst all, and that is why God also loves them. That is what he says. It is beyond doubt that all the above ones have elevated feelings. When the people are suffering, they have no selfish intent. They have elevated feelings for God. Even those who want to benefit, they also have feelings towards God. Even the seekers have feelings towards God. The Jnani souls also have feelings towards God. But the percentage of feelings of everyone is different. So he says, no doubt that they all have feelings, elevated feelings. But the one is most elevated who is the highest, knowledgeful one. The highest knowledgeful one, their feeling is the most elevated and is merged in godly love. The Jnani souls, knowing and understanding, having this realization of the Supreme and what spirituality is, that is why it is said, religion and spirituality, they are two different things. Spirituality takes us above religion. It creates that universal feelings towards all. It is such an elevated path where no boundaries, no limitations can limit us. So when they have this realization of the spirituality in its true sense, they start loving God as He is. And they are loved by God also. It reciprocates. When the feelings are there, the response is also experienced. Whatever type of feelings we have, accordingly, the reciprocation is there. So he says that they are merged in godly love because I am most loved by Him and He is most loved by me. I consider Him to be equal to me, because he stabilizes on my direction with a faithful intellect. He is under my protection in the last birth of his many births. That soul which is so elevated is under my protection in his last birth of this cycle, that is Kali Yuga. And in this Kali Yuga, the last phase which is going on, so this is the last birth. So in the last births of many births, such a great soul is very rare to be seen and to be found in the world. And then he further says, the ones whose intellect has been influenced by desires, the tatir, take shelter of the deities. Normally, such businessmen, they worship Lakshmi, the deities, Ganesh. So they take the shelter of the deities. So here God clarifies the difference between the supreme and the deities. They are not one. He's not the incarnation of all deities. The supreme is beyond birth and death. He's beyond the cycle, beyond the dualities of human life. The deities are divine beings who take birth, who come on this world, who go through the dualities, who perform action, who take the fruits of the action also, experience the fruit of the action also. But supreme is beyond action and reaction. So here he is clarifying the difference between the supreme soul and the divine beings. So those people, they take the shelter of the deities. Even the earth people who are suffering, for them also, it is very easy to take the image of any bodily being. So they also take the image of any deity and they remember him. Only the knowledgeful souls who have understood and realized what spirituality is and have had God realization, they are the only ones. That is why he said, out of the thousands, only a few are able to realize my reality and come under my shelter and take my protection. But the rest, they take the shelter of the deities to fulfill their desires. They follow the method of worship. So the knowledgeful ones, they focus their attention, meditation, concentration on the Supreme. While the others, who does not have God realization, take the shelter of the divine beings and they worship because they do not know the path of meditation. They do not know the path of how to love God, because the love is for money. The love is for, the desire is for materialistic comforts. So they cannot merge themselves in God's love. So they take the path of worship. This is the difference. So they follow the method of worship according to their respective nature and fulfill their desires. But the reality is that all the attainments, now here a very deep karma philosophy is explained. The reality is that all the attainments are bestowed through me only. Those divine beings, they do not have the power to fulfill their desires. But because they remember God in form of the deities, so the reality is that the attainments are bestowed through me only, or through that medium of divine being. The ones with a limited intellect worship the deities because their intellect cannot go beyond an image. They need an image. So they cannot think. They think, how can we think of nothing? God not having an image. So they can't think of God being the incorporeal, the supreme being the incorporeal. So they want a sakar form. So because their intellect is limited and they cannot come out of that limitation, so they worship the deities And so the fruit they receive is also limited and monetary, because they have desired for that only. So that is how they receive. Then the question that Arjuna asks is, why are human beings not aware of God? In fact, this science and this realization God is giving to Arjuna because he is also not realizing God's reality. He is seeing Krishna only. And he is feeling he is my friend. So he also have not understood the reality of God. So he says, why are human beings not aware of God? So God explains, all the living beings of the world are held by the attachment due to the conflict of desire and hatred, and therefore they do not know me. When they are in the bondage of hatred, conflict, desires, they are not able to know me. Attachment. Human beings who lack the intellect believe me to be in a corporeal form. Very clearly he states, human beings who lack the intellect of understanding God believe me to be in the corporeal form. They do not know that I am beyond birth and rebirth. Now, see, Krishna is not saying these words because he has taken birth. So he cannot say these words. So there is some different entity in the medium of Sri Krishna who is uttering these words. Who says they do not know that I am beyond birth and rebirth. And actually he is trying to make Arjuna also realize that you are also not realizing my reality. Because he is seeing the corporeal form only. And not able to realize there is somebody else speaking through this medium. And then he says, they do not know that I am beyond birth and rebirth, eternal and supreme, because I don't reveal myself in front of everyone. I don't reveal myself in front of everyone. I know the three aspects of time, the past, present and future. And then he says, then who can know God? So then God says, those who perform charitable actions, punya karma, whose sins are incinerated, who are liberated from the attachment, arising from the conflict of love and hatred, and remain determined in their promise, concentrate their mind on me, and we'll realize at the end, even Arjuna will realize when the eternal form, the vision of the eternal form, which is more powerful than thousands of suns gathered together in the sky, then only he will get the realization. So he says, they concentrate their mind on me and we'll realize at the end that I am the controller of complete spirituality. Divine action, materialistic world, deities and the rituals of the yajna. Very clearly, a very significant science is revealed by God. So in the 8th chapter, Akshar Brahma Yoga, on the basis of what God has explained in the 7th chapter, Arjuna has 7 questions in his mind. So in the Akshara Brahma Yoga, God stresses on the science of yoga. He reveals the secret that a person receives salvation according to his state of mind at the time of his death. Along with the knowledge of the day of Brahma and the night of Brahma, he also clarifies about the difference between corporeal and incorporeal. And the two paths of leaving this materialistic world. So, from verse 1 to verse 7, 7 questions of Arjuna and their answers. From verse 8 to verse 16, the process of meditation while being the embodiment of yoga, being the form of yoga. And from verse 17 to verse 22, the day of Brahma and the night of Brahma, and the description of Paramdham, the supreme abode. From verse 23 to verse 28, the topic of the Shukla path and Krishna path, the fortnight and the dark half of the lunar month. So the two ways through which people go from this materialistic world when they leave their body, that is clarified. So the seven questions are, when he says, O Purushottam, Purush means the soul, and Uttam means the highest. So one who is highest amongst the soul, not the bodies. One who is highest amongst the souls, O Purushottam, what is Brahma? What is spirituality? What is the charitable action? What is the materialistic world? What is a deity? Who is the creator of yajna? And how is he in a human body? How does he come in a human body? If he is incorporeal, if he is beyond birth and death, how can he come and establish a yajna? And the seventh question is, how does one come to know about you through a self-discipline at the time of death? So these are normally the questions of us also, which is clarified by God, each and every question so beautifully, to the point in an essence. And he says, what is Brahma? The first question. Brahma is that which is immortal, eternal and divine conscient element. It is not the supreme. It is an element. We have the world of five elements, and it is the sixth element which is divine, which is immortal, which is eternal. So it is an element. That is not God. That is a place where all the souls reside. And even the supreme soul resides in that abode, in that element. So he says, Brahma is that which is immortal, eternal and divine conscient element. The law of which can never change is Brahma element. In this world of five elements, the law of nature is affecting. So there is a constant change. Change is a constant process. But where the law of nature does not affect, and which is beyond change, that is Brahma element. Where nothing can change, it is ever eternal, divine, and it is a conscient, Chaitanya Tattva hai, which is known by various names in various religions. According to Hindu religion, people call it Moksha Dham, where all the souls are in its liberated form. Some call it Nirvana Dham, which is an abode beyond words, beyond sound. Nirvana, vani nahi, where there is no vani, no sound. Some call it Brahma Mahatattva. It is the eternal element which is known by this name as Brahma. Some call it Ruhani Dunya. The Muslims, they call it Ruhani Dunya, where all the souls are residing in their eternal form. They do not merge in that element, or they do not merge in the Supreme, but they have their eternal existence because they are imperishable, indivisible, immortal souls. Eternal souls. So the existence of each and every soul is also there in that Ruhani Dunya, in that abode of souls. Some call it the highest heavenly abode, which is the highest on the high. Some call it by the name Paramdham, which is also the highest abode. Some call it Shanti Dham. It is an abode of silence. Some call it Satva Asman. It is the seventh sky. The five elements world, sixth is a subtle element in between the physical world and the eternal world, Brahma. And that is the seventh element, Satva Asman. So various names are given to it. In the Sikh religion, it is said as Sach Khand. It is an abode of truthfulness, where there is complete truth, eternal truth prevailing. So various names are given to this abode, and the description of which will be further in our further chapters. The second question, what is spirituality? So spirituality is that authority. It's an authority of knowledge is that authority which the soul attains through constant study and progresses ahead in its efforts, through which it moves away from the authority of Maya. Either we are in the authority of Maya, or either we are realized and we gain that stage of spirituality. So those who have the authority which the soul attains through constant study of, or we can say constant have wisdom, the study of wisdom, and progresses ahead in its effort, through which it moves away from the authority of Maya. Gradually, he overcomes Maya. That is spirituality, which is beyond religions. The awakening which one gets, that is spiritual. That which is connected with the spirit. So when in Hindi it is said, what is Adhyatma? Adhyatma means, Adhyatma, this word is made up of Adhyayan Dwara Unnati Prapta Karna. Adhyayan of what? Wisdom. Adhyayan, so constant study of what spirit is, what spirituality is. So Adhyayan Dwara Unnati, where there is elevation of the soul. By having constant study of knowledge, the wisdom, that is Adhyatma, and through which the soul gains self-mastery. When the self-mastery is there, then it comes away from the authority of Maya. Maya ke adhipatya se bahar aa jate hai. Then the third question, what is a positive action? What is sukarma? So God says, the one who remains beyond the consciousness of body and vices, even while performing actions, is a positive and elevated action. One who remains beyond the consciousness of body, I am doing this, I am doing this charity, and vices, even while performing actions, is a positive and an elevated action. Then the next question, what is the materialistic world? And then he clarifies, materialistic world is this world which is made up of the five elements in which nature is constantly transformational. Continuously changes there. So the materialistic world is made up of five elements of nature where there is constant change taking place. And then he says, the next question, who is the creator of Yajna? So he says, I am the creator of Yajna, which is symbolic for good actions, where the process of purification takes place. So that is Yajna, which is symbolic for good actions amongst all human beings who become the most elevated deity. And it is only through elevated actions, or actions which are connected for the purification of process, through which we transform from ordinary human beings to deities, divine beings. So that is why in the other scriptures also it is mentioned, Narse Narayan. So from an ordinary human being, Narse Narayan kiye karat na lagi vaar. It does not take time for God to transform those self-realized souls from ordinary stage to Narayan. So from Nar to Narayan, from humans into deities, it is transformed on the basis of the type of karmas. The more elevated karmas, the more he easily gets transferred. And who is the creator of that yajna who transfers, which teaches us the art of purification of the self? Who is the creator? So he says, I am the creator of that yajna. Who is that I? Not a divine being, not a deity, but the supreme being. And then the last question, how does one know you through a self-controller at the time of death? So he says, one's remembrance at the end time will be according to whatever he has practiced throughout his life. Anta mate so gate. So whatever he has been practicing throughout his life, that will be the state of his mind in the end time. He who leaves his body in my remembrance reaches me. Therefore, hey Arjuna, be constantly in my remembrance and then fight. The activities of Maya practically emerge in the form of obstacles when a person is meditating, like lust, greed, anger, attachment and ego are the wicked enemies. And these enemies will not allow you to remain in God's remembrance. They continuously snatch away that divinity from your intellect. So that's why he says, fight with these vices. Fight with this Maya and overcome. That is the constant enemy, the most wicked enemy of the human being. And then further he says, again he defines his personality. That's why I said, till 6 chapters he was talking about the reality and the originality of the soul. From the 7th chapter onwards, many times till the 12th chapter, he mentions about the supreme existence in front of Arjuna. So he says, hey Arjuna, I am all knowledgeful, eternally the controller of all, subtlest of the subtle, sukshmate sukshma, subtlest of the subtle, the embodiment of support for all, ever divine form of light, bodiless one, ashariri. I do not have a body of my own. Ashariri, I am the bodiless one. So this is how he has again clarified, who is one who is beyond birth and death? Who is ever eternal? So he clarifies further, I am the sukshmate sukshma, most subtle entity. That is why human beings cannot concentrate on that eternal form of God, which is light, the most subtle. And according to geometry, a point is defined as infinite. So infinite in his qualities, infinite light, but a point of light. And then further says, hey Arjuna, the ones who are knowledgeful follows the promise of celibacy, they become pure, withdraws his senses from the external materialistic world, makes his mind the embodiment of yoga, and his heart filled with special loveful feelings, gets his intellect stabilized in the point form, that is, he becomes soul conscious first, because as is the consciousness of the person, so is his remembrance. So would he remember. When a doctor is at home and isn't the most ordinary consciousness that I'm the father of this child. He plays with the father, he does gardening also, he does various activities. Because he's not in the consciousness of being a doctor at that time. So he does all sorts of activities. But Monday morning when he gets ready to go to the hospital, he does not have to chant, I am the doctor, I am the doctor, I am the doctor. No. But once he starts getting ready, immediately his consciousness changes from an ordinary consciousness of being just a father of one child into that consciousness of a doctor. So whom will he remember? He'll remember the hospital. He'll remember the patients. He'll remember the operations that he has to perform. He'll remember the treatments that he has to give to which patient. So his thoughts are functioning according to the consciousness that he is having. If at that moment his mother tells him, when you come back from the hospital, you bring this much of things from the market, he would say yes. But because his mind is engaged in that consciousness related activities, he does not remember. And when he comes home empty handed, his mother asks him, I told you and you forgot again. So he says, why can't you go and get it yourself when you know I'm going to forget? But why is he forgetting? Because when he is listening to that which is told to him, he is not in the consciousness of a householder. He is in the consciousness of a doctor. So he remembers medicines. He remembers hospital, he remembers treatments, he remembers patients, he remembers operations. That is what he is remembering because he is in that consciousness. So similarly, if I want to remember God and if I am in this body consciousness, I am so and so, doing such and such things, I can never stabilize my mind and intellect in the Supreme. In order to stabilize my mind and intellect in the remembrance of the Supreme, I have to change my consciousness from body consciousness to soul consciousness. The moment I am body conscious, I'll remember those activities concerned with the body. Or I may remember the bodily beings, my parents, my father, mother, brothers, sisters, my friends, whatever. So that is what we call as body consciousness. And when the body consciousness is there, then the vices also are there. Because body consciousness is the root cause or the doorway for all the vices to enter. When I am body consciousness, I remember the bodily beings, that means the attachment comes. When I am body conscious, I remember about my business maybe, so the greed comes. When I am body conscious and I remember my post position, the ego comes. So this is how it is the doorway for all the vices to come in. That is why Supreme advises Arjuna, be soul conscious. Because when we become soul conscious and I'm aware of my eternal attributes, I remember, I become that form, and I stabilize my mind and intellect easily in the remembrance of the Supreme. So he says that the one who is the embodiment of yoga and his heart filled with the special loveful feelings for God. When I'm soul conscious, I'm the embodiment of love, which is the eternal quality of the soul. So natural, special loveful feelings emerge for the Supreme. He gets his intellect stabilized in the point form that I am a soul. The Supreme is also a point. Sukshma te sukshma, and I am also a point of light. In the middle of my forehead, and chants Om. As I mentioned, Om means I am that. What? I am that divine soul. I am not God. I am the child of God. I am the eternal soul. So that is what I stabilize in and practice to remain in my constant remembrance. He will be liberated from all sorrows in the end time and attain divinity and the highest success. His life becomes a fulfilled life, a completed life, complete life in spirituality. And he has the greatest contentment from within. He feels as if he has used his life in a worthwhile way. And he is satisfied with the quality of life that he has lived. That is his stage. When he is soul conscious and when his mind is able to stabilize in that remembrance of the Supreme. And then he says, the four ages. Now he is describing of the day of Brahma and night of Brahma. So he says the four ages. Today we saw in the morning the four ages. Golden age, silver age, copper age, iron age. Satyuga, Tretayuga, Dwaparyuga and Kaliyuga. They form one kalpa. All the four ages, they form one kalpa. Golden and silver ages, Kriti Yuga and Treta Yuga, Satyuga, Treta Yuga are the day of Brahma. These two ages are the day of Brahma. And Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga are the night of Brahma. In the beginning of the day of Brahma, the souls come from their subtle form, from that Brahma element, they come from the subtle form and take the support of the physical nature. So beautiful science is explained in such a lucid manner. So they come from that element of Brahma, from that subtle form and take the support of the physical nature. And when it is the end of the night of Brahma, that is the end of Kali Yuga, all souls start to transcend from the physical to the subtle form again. Because the world has to go through a transformational period and the golden era has to come again. So, all this population cannot come back in that age, because if in golden age also there is so much of population, there will be so much of trouble. So who comes in the golden age, which he has mentioned? Out of the thousands, those who try to know me, and out of those, very few who realize me. Those realized souls who have taken the protection and shelter of the Supreme, they get the right to his inheritance. Because the golden age and silver age is the inheritance of the Supreme, which those souls who are worthy, they get. Not everyone. Those unworthy souls who do not even perform charitable actions, does not perform elevated actions, how can they reap that inheritance? It is according to the actions we do, we get the fruit of the action. So heavenly kingdom is also the fruit of the elevated action which we perform on the directions of the Supreme, the Srimad of Bhagavat. When we perform the actions on the basis of the Srimad of Bhagavat, that is when we claim the right to that kingdom, to that world. So that is why it is mentioned in Bible also, Genesis chapter 1, that God made man in his own image. That means at the time of Kali Yuga, when man was existing, that is the time when God descends and he makes man in his own image. That is, as God is the embodiment of perfection, those souls, those human souls, that man who transforms himself on the basis of elevated action, they attain that stage of perfection. And those souls only can claim the right to the heavenly kingdom. So this is how the cycle of the kalpa is rotating. The day and night of Brahma is moving on, which very less people understand, even after reading Gita for years. And then he says, but other than this, there is one subtle eternal nature which never gets destroyed. Even when all five elements get destroyed, which I said is the connecting part between the physical five elements of nature and the Brahma element. So that subtle nature is what God is talking about. That, but other than this, there is one subtle eternal nature which never gets destroyed. Even when all five elements get destroyed, it is the highest imperishable abode beyond the physical as well as the subtle stage. And then he's talking about the Brahma element. This is my Paramdham, the highest abode where I dwell, where he constantly lives. And at the time of irreligiousness, he descends from there. Yada yada hi dharmasya. So that is the place where he dwells. So this is the three worlds. When we say God is the Lord of the three worlds, so which are those three worlds? Some people feel Patal Lok, Prithvi Lok and that Brahma element. No. It is this world of five elements. Then there is a subtle region where the three deities reside, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, from where they create the new world order. They destroy, Shankar destroys, and Vishnu sustains. So from that region they function. And God, the Supreme, is the dweller of that supreme abode, Paramdham. So that is where I dwell. And then further he's, in the end of this chapter he clarifies that at the there are two paths to go away from this world. When the night of Brahma is over, when Kaliyuga is about to get over and the new dawn is to begin, that is the time when all the souls would go. But how would they go? Everybody would not be liberated in the same manner. Those who have elevated themselves, they go through the path of light. And those who were indulged in Maya, they go through the path of darkness. So, these are the two paths through which they go. The ones who go through the path of light, they do not have to go through any of the Dharmaraj punishments, because they have naturally elevated in this last birth. So when they are elevated, they go through the path of light and go directly to that home, Paramdham. But those who were indulged in Maya and did not purify themselves, where will they go? They will also go to the Paramdham. But a small illustration I would like to give here, that supposing you have two children, very young, and you tell both the children in the morning, now come on, get up, get ready, and you have to go to school. Now one child is an obedient child. Immediately gets up, gets fresh, he is ready to go to school. Because he loves study maybe. But the other child who is naughty, he realizes I have not done my homework. And if I go to school, I'm going to get a punishment. So what does he say? I don't want to go to school today. He refuses to get up also. I'm feeling so, I want to sleep. And he says so many excuses, he gives so many excuses to his mother. I'm not feeling well. I am feeling as if I want to vomit, I want to do this. He is a naughty child. So he starts giving excuses because he knows he has not done the homework and he will get a punishment. So he doesn't want to get punishment in front of his friends. So he refuses to get up. Will the parents allow him to bunk school? No. They say, no, you have to go to school. How come that you are feeling such? Let me see your temperature. You have normal temperature. Okay, I'll give you medicines. But you have to go to school. But he doesn't get ready at all. He just is lying lazily in that bed. What will you do? Try to make him understand, look, child, you have to go to school. If you don't go to school, you'll spoil your future. You try to make him understand everything, but still he doesn't understand because he knows that he has not done the homework and he is not willing to speak out the truth. So what will you say? Okay, if you go to school, then I'll get you one ice cream, I'll get you whatever he likes. We give incentives also, temptations also. But he doesn't want to go through the punishment. That is in his mind. So he says, I don't want chocolates, I don't want ice creams, I don't want anything, but I don't want to go to school. What will you do? Allow him to stay at home? No. Finally, you beat him. You slap him. And drag him to the bathroom. Make him ready. Even though he's crying, he goes on crying, but you don't have pity at that time because you know that is his future. His future will be spoiled. If he is excused today, then every time he will do this. So, you don't want him to get in that sort of samskaras. So finally you beat him, take him to the bathroom, get him ready. He is crying, let him cry. You don't have pity on him. Drag him to school also. And keep him there. You tell the teacher today he is upset, so you take care of him. So the teacher also takes care of that child. So when he is asked, why have you not done your homework? You have to stand up on your bench or go out and hold your ears and you have to go for the punishment. He is crying. He has to go through the punishment also. Now both the children go to school. One goes happily. Because he has done his homework, he is fine, happy. He is enjoying the whole day also. He takes in what is being taught in the class. Everything he gains, there is gain, gain, gain. Because he was obedient. But the other one is the loser for the whole day. He is not in a good mood because he has been slapped. So his mind does not concentrate. He has to go through the punishment. He does not gain in his study also. Nothing. Even in the break when his friends are playing, he sits there with a sulky face. His friends try to come and tell him, now remove this sulkiness from your face. Come to play. Let us play. But he is not at all interested. And this is how he comes back home also. And after he has cried and gone through the punishment and has been a loser, he does not enjoy, he goes to sleep. Maybe he doesn't take his food also and he goes to sleep. And when he wakes up, that is the time maybe when his friends would come again and say, what is happening to you? Come on, let's go out to play. So in the evening time maybe, he goes out to play. And then he again comes in the mood. So both the children, how do they experience their days? One is happily throughout the day, a winner of the day, and the other one is the loser of the day. So God also has two types of children. One are the obedient one, who realize their self, who realize God, who purify themselves, do the homework because they realize time also, that now the time is changing. The night of Brahma is over, so we need to go back home. So they do their homework, they purify themselves and they elevate their actions and they go through the path of light. Straight to that home. No punishments. Because already purified. So go there, rest for a while till the world gets transformed, and then as the golden dawn begins, the day of Brahma starts, they descend from the Kriti Yuga as divine beings. But those who were indulged in Maya and have not purified themselves, what happens to them? They go through the path of darkness. They have to go through Dharmaraj, through the punishments, and purify themselves. And after purification, naturally after the punishment, they are so tired and exhausted, they go to that eternal home and go to sleep. And therefore it is said, Jin soya tin khoya. The one who sleeps loses everything. Down below, time and tide waits for none. Time is moving. And they are sleeping. So the Kriti Yuga, the Satyuga and Treta Yuga is over. So by the time they wake up is evening. Because they were moodless, they did not feel like enjoying, they were dull, sulky, and they were going through a lot of moods. So they slept in that Paramdham, and by the time they feel like playing on this world drama and they descend, it is evening time. So it is Kali Yuga time. Evening means Kali Yuga. The night of Brahma starts then. So that is how the evening time they feel like coming, and they come. And that is why in Kali Yuga the population starts increasing. Because those souls who have been coming and playing their roles from Satyuga, they are here. Changing their costumes one after the other, experiencing life in full swing and enjoying the fruits of all elevated actions, leading the divine life in the heavenly kingdom, the day of Brahma. Even in Copper Age, they are good worshippers. They are pious people. They remember God. But in Kali Yuga, you see that the population explosion started. Multiplication of souls. Where did all these souls come from? So those who are here, they are there. And the ones who had gone through the path of darkness, they also start descending very fast. So the population explodes. So the population increases. And when they descend, they come in a happy mood. So you find that those people who are doing unrighteous actions, they are also enjoying. It is like the first phase, that is the golden age for them. So they have all materialistic comforts and everything. Like golden age, which what we have. Because God gives justification to them also. Not that because they have slept now, they won't get the happiness of this world. So for a temporary period, they get the happiness. But in that happiness, in that materialistic comforts and happiness, they are again under the clutches of Maya. So when they are under the clutches of Maya and God wants to make them realize, now look, again the time is changing very fast. Now you don't have much time. You have to purify yourself, but again they become so naughty because they do not have the realization. So they are so naughty, indulged in all the evils, and finally they have to again go back through the path of darkness, because this is a constant cycle. So what type of children do you like to become? We are all God's children. So through which path you would like to go? Through the path of light or through the path of darkness? It is up to you. If you would like to go through the path of light, then we have to be obedient children of God. We have to love, be loveful children of God, and purify ourselves in this Kali Yuga also, so that we go through the path of light. And so the qualifications of such souls is explained, that the human beings who travel on the path of light, that is the path of actions, being the embodiment of knowledge, so whatever action they perform through proper understanding, through proper knowledge, in which the fire of yajna service is lit. It is like the fire is lit, and anything impure gold is kept in that fire, the alloy is burnt and the shine comes out. So in this, in which the fire of yajna service is lit, yajna service means serving others also, inspiring others to purify their lives, to give them this realization also that now time is changing. So that is yajna service, service done for the purification process in the name of purifying others also and the self also. The light of the intellect is shining like the sun, and there are no clouds of attachment in the sky of the heart. The heart is like the sky. So such beautiful description is given how the light is lit and the intellect is starting to shine like the sun. There are no clouds of attachment in the sky of the heart, and there is complete brightness of feelings. This is the path of light. The soul who leaves the body at a very auspicious moment, at the right time of such a day, on a bright fortnight of a lunar month, that is Shukla Paksh, and when the sun moves northwards, Uttarayan, that one achieves elevated salvation. Means he directly goes to Paramdham, northward direction. So Uttarayan Disha. So northward direction means Paramdham, directly to that home. On the fortnight of a lunar month, bright fortnight of a lunar month means they have purified themselves and they have reached that brightness, that 16 celestial degrees of the lunar month means the night of Brahma. So night of Brahma, in the Uttarayan, northward direction, that is towards Paramdham, and achieves elevated salvation. So this is the significance. We have been reading this word so many times, but hardly realized. And whatever is opposite to this is the path of darkness, which I have not mentioned here in the form of slide, because we are here to inspire you to go through the path of light only. So let that be clear in your mind, so that the confusion is not there. If I would describe that path of darkness also, after you go from here, sometimes there is confusion. The thoughts are such, they start getting mixed with one another. So I'm not telling the path of darkness here. If you feel like reading it, go to the Gita also and you'll understand. But don't try to confuse your mind. Only keep your mind, if you have this aim, I want to go through the path of light, then this is the clarification. So this is the path of light, which means you get eternal salvation, elevated salvation, and as the Kriti Yuga starts, the golden dawn of Satyuga starts, immediately you come down in the heavenly period. God made man in his own image. And then tomorrow we'll be seeing the further chapters. Chapter 9. The deep yoga and the skill to rule the kingdom. Self-sovereignty. How can we rule our own kingdom? So tomorrow will be 9th chapter, which will also be very interesting. And as God today explained, jnana vijnana of the eternal cycle, the nature, the supreme abode, so many clarifications were done in today's chapters. And this is how If we really become self-realized souls, we'll definitely go on towards that path. And that will be our fortune. That is the highest fortune that God has come to grant us. And He wants each and every child of His to go through the path of light. Such merciful He is, such benefactor He is, and He loves each and every one of His child, and this is why He wants you to be that part of that divine kingdom. That's why I said in the morning also, either you are a part of the problem or you are a part of the solution. Either you are a part of construction or you are a part of destruction. Either you are a path of light, you follow the path of light, or you follow the path of darkness. It is up to us which path we would like to follow. Okay? So with this, for a few moments we shall sit in meditation. And as His eternal form is clarified in each chapters gradually, how is the sukshma te sukshma? So for a few moments we become soul conscious, forgetting that I am this body, I am so and so, I have this name, I have this, forget all that. I have this bodily relations and this is the task I am doing, forget all that. I am a soul, a point of light, stabilized in the center of the forehead, who is the master of all senses. So stabilize in the soul conscious stage, and then you can see how naturally we start to elevate and fly towards the Supreme Being. Be under His canopy. Stabilize there in His company. Be in the company of God and just feel God's love. So today we shall have a meditation based on what God has taught us, how to stabilize ourselves in that consciousness of soul. Okay? So for a few moments, let us turn our attention. Away from the physical world, the materialistic world, and just be present here. In the consciousness that I am a soul. This body is like my temple. And I am the conscient, self-luminous entity in this temple. I am the master of the senses. As I focus my attention in the center of the forehead, which is my throne, where I sit and control the body and the actions, as I stabilize myself in the consciousness of the attributes of the soul, I feel so light within. I become free from all the bondages of attachments. I become light and experience no burdens. Experience complete freedom. And slowly and gradually, I start ascending. From this world of physical nature, from this world of five elements, I still ascend completely free, embodiment of light, and I travel through the sun, moon and stars, and still ascend, cross the subtle region and enter the divine Brahma element, which is the highest abode. Which is the abode of liberation. And with my mind's eye, I visualize myself in a completely liberated form, the embodiment of light. I see myself in this divine element. It is so peaceful, the abode of silence. Slowly and gradually, I move forward towards my Supreme Father. And as I am a point of light, He is also the subtlest of the subtle. Infinite in His